All right, now, you're listening to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Bronan, just a fed-up taxpayer, bringing you all of your Texas local and national news. Welcome to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. I am Bronan, your host. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. Or if you are joining the show for the first time, 1,000 welcomes. Please make sure to like, subscribe, follow from wherever you are streaming. And you can also follow the Real Texas Radio Podcast on X at RTR_Bronan. And we got to talk about the big story of the week, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the conservative young influencer that happened in Utah on Wednesday. Absolutely terrible, inexcusable, horrific. If you saw the video, I mean, it was like watching the JFK assassination 2.0. Just no excuse whatsoever. And I was not a Charlie Kirk fan. I didn't watch his content. I'm not on TikTok. And nothing against him. I understand his wide popularity all the way up from Donald Trump down. And it's not my type of thing, debating people on abortion and transgender rights and the social issues. It's not the focus of my show. I think it's lowest common denominator content. You cannot draw eyeballs and ears talking about property taxes and municipal law and regulation and state law, typically. You need to, if you want to draw eyeballs and you want to have a social media presence, a dominant presence, then you have to talk about the lowest common denominator issues that everybody can engage with, even if they have a mid double digit IQ. So that's abortion, and that's weed, and that's gun control, and that's transgender and LGBTQ. So whatever, nothing against anybody if that's their brand and they can monetize it. But you know what, at the city council meeting in Dallas on Wednesday, Alex Stein, another Charlie Kirk type figure, maybe a little less popular, but he shows up, and it's just self-promotion, right? He showed up to the open mic speaking period. And, you know, I'm not in favor of limiting the content that people can talk about, even if it is off topic. So I'm not saying that we should get into that. I'm very skeptical and leery of limiting speech at all, keeping in mind that the First Amendment exists to protect ugly, abhorrent speech, right? If everybody spoke in beautiful, respectful, flowery prose, then we wouldn't need a First Amendment. But the first is to protect the worst of the worst. Things that you... Alex Stein, he's from Texas, in his blue button-down shirt and his blazer, and he looks like a younger Tucker Carlson. Similar to Charlie Kirk's appearance often, although I think he was just in a white t-shirt at his final appearance in Utah on the college campus. But Alex Stein was just blathering about the cowboys and people forgetting about 9/11. And public meetings, and when you have any kind of an audience, it can draw nuts. For sure. It draws in people who want to talk about Israel-Palestine, that the Dallas City Council has nothing to do with, that municipal government has nothing to do with. And so I ended up, I tweeted out a comment about Alex Stein, who cares, but just, you know, what is he doing at this meeting? Just, he has a show. He's got a million followers. Go on your own show and talk about all of the social crap and the cowboys with your hair part that you want to talk about and be Tucker Carlson Jr. So anyway, shortly thereafter, the news of Charlie Kirk breaks, and again, completely horrific. And it looked like he had drawn a huge crowd. And he does these college debates. He's known for it, right? And there are certainly other characters who they have copied this model. They go to college campuses, they get in debates with liberals, and then they post who are supposed to be the lowest IQ, the dumbest, the most foolish looking. It's like the modern iteration of Man on the Street or Jay Leno when he would do jaywalking and find all of these dopes who didn't appear to be much smarter than a third grader. And you know what amazes me? So he did have security, and now people are criticizing that the security was lax. It was insufficient. But, you know, we're in a place where you'd want to be behind a bulletproof glass. Even Donald Trump, really, since he's been elected, he doesn't hold the big rallies like he used to in the first term, and with good reason. And he's not doing a lot of outdoor events. Most of his pressers, they are from the White House. You cannot blame the man at all. But even in toward the end of the second campaign in 2024, when he was doing his appearances, he was appearing at least some of the time in front of bulletproof glass. And it's unfortunate that we live in a world where that is necessary. But I think we've had enough examples where if you are a firebrand, whoever you are, and you should probably think about doing something like that in terms of your own personal safety. But, you know, I was thinking about, of course, the red flag laws, right? And there is no red flag law in Utah. Not that it would have mattered, but as of January 2025, 21 states and the District of Columbia, they have some kind of a red flag law. And what that means is if you are deemed a threat, and I believe you'd have to go through the court system to be deemed a threat, then you would be denied access to a firearm. And the people who are expected to report somebody under this red flag law would be a close family member or law enforcement. But the problem with these red flag laws, aside from the fact that we've seen some horrific shootings in states that have passed them, is obviously if you are you go into a large public place like a school or a college campus or a mall or out in the street and you open fire, then you're a mental patient of some stripe, of some description. And the problem is, so Democrats, they talk about how they want common sense gun control, like red flag laws. They never want to define what common sense gun control is. To me, it would mean making sure that mental patients don't have access to a firearm. The problem is, over the last 10, 15, or 20 years, we have made it a mission to make as many people as possible, this is the Democrats, a mental patient. We've got over 40 million boys and young men who have been prescribed Adderall for ADD or ADHD. Thank you, COVID hoax, farce, nonsense, scam, which just accelerated the online pill mills. How many people are prescribed some type of psychotropic medication for depression or anxiety, right? So does that mean that everybody who is prescribed one of those medications, any kind of a mental or psychotic drug, should be barred from having a firearm? All the transgenders, which despite the fact that this group seems to be growing exponentially, they still represent a minority, a small minority of the population. But even if they don't go through with the final cut, so to speak, they get onto the hormones, which completely messes up your mind. I've told you before, I have a family member who is an emergency room nurse in a major city. And she has told me, and she doesn't even mean to disrespect the patient, but she's just observed that any of the transgender patients, they're a total mental case, loony bin. And how could they not be? Because they're taking medication that is interfering with their naturally occurring hormones. So are you going to take all the guns away from those people? And we just had another transgender shooter. What was that, last week or the week before? And that idea was floated. Pretty soon, if you start taking away all the firearms from the mental patients, there's not going to be that many people left. But the other big problem with stripping mental patients of their right to take advantage of the Second Amendment is mental patients are the core constituency of the Democrat Party, whether they are transgender, whether they have depression and anxiety, whether they need a safe space. Most of the people on a college campus, they're the core constituency of the Democrat Party. So if Democrats want to strip their own constituents and their own voters, their illegal aliens, etc., from the Second Amendment, that's fine. The other core group of the Democrat Party are just your general low-level criminals. Most gun homicides, it's not a Charlie Kirk type situation, right? The reason why that's gained so much attention, obviously, it's because we're talking about a famous person, because it was captured on video, because it was a sniper on a college campus. It had all of the elements to dominate multiple news cycles. Most deaths by firearm are they're your run-of-the-mill gangbangers, your run-of-the-mill societal scum, trash. And, you know, the other thing is, what drives me nuts, now we're going to play the motivation speculation of the killer. Why did he do it? Who was it? Did he have a MAGA hat? Was he a CIA operative? It had to be Israel. He must have had some gender identity struggles. He must have been thinking about being transgender. His mother abused him. He was on the psychotropic medication, the video games. You know, everybody in the media, they were all able to sleep in on Thursday morning and Friday morning because the script was already written for them. They love to play this game. You know what? If you hear me spending a whole show on speculating on the motivation of a killer, then you know I've lost the plot. You know I've really run out of content. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. What a waste of time. And, you know, they don't act like they're all not excited about this. They can scrap all of their plans for show prep for this week and probably into next. They don't have to do any work at all to come up with any interesting content because this is like the ultimate lowest common denominator story. And again, I'm very sorry. This was a tragedy. I know this guy was beloved by many and loathed by many as well. But even as I record now, the FBI has just released a photo. This is from the Daily Mail, of a person of interest. It looks like a white guy, skinny white guy, younger. You know, there was the false capture, the mistaken capture of some old guy who his pants fell down for some reason, some old white guy. But now they've got this younger guy. It's amazing how he hasn't been captured yet in this day and age with all of the cameras. But I have a feeling they will catch him soon. So anyway, I'm not getting into the speculation of why this person did this. It's terrible. And you know what I was thinking of as well? You know, the other piece, this type of behavior, unfortunately, it has diversified. Every single racial group and sexual orientation has gotten involved in these type of mass killings. And it's typically men. That's a common denominator, even if they've got the trans factor. Most of them are not trans, but recently we've seen a few more of these trans people. But every single group, whites, blacks, Hispanics, Muslims, they're all involved, even the Asians. Do you remember, you know, a story that I was looking up? This one I remember from high school, the Virginia Tech shooting. Remember that? It was almost 20 years ago. It was in 2007. And I remember because it happened maybe a couple of days before the end of spring break, which if you're in the South, you don't have, we have break in February and April. I'm from Boston. I went to Boston Public Schools for high school. So we would get the April break. And I came back from the break and one of my teachers was absent, my history teacher. And he showed up the following day, the Tuesday, and he said, I didn't come to school because I was afraid that something like Virginia Tech was going to happen here. That's what he said to us. And if you don't remember the Virginia Tech mass shooting, well, I don't blame you, because in this goldfish mentality that we have with the news. But it was an Asian male, a young Asian male. His name was Soon-Hee Cho or something like that. Cho was the last name. And he killed 32 people and he wounded 17 others with two semi-automatic pistols. And then he committed suicide. But it was horrific. It was totally frightening. And, you know, if go to the Wikipedia page, if you want to believe anything that it says on Wikipedia, but I was just looking, oh, what was the motivation? Well, this is what it says. Cho had previously been diagnosed with selective mutism and severe depression. During much of his middle school and high school years, he received therapy and special education support. So you're going to report somebody like that to your local police or to the FBI, just like the aunt of the Parkland high school shooter did in Florida, reported the nephew to the FBI and said, I think this guy is a danger and a threat. And the FBI did nothing. And then he went in and shot up that school. And, you know, we can blame the FBI all day long, but they're inundated. They are absolutely inundated just with child porn reports alone coming out of Facebook and Instagram. Tens of millions of reports. I don't know how they can stay on top of it. I don't know how they can do everything. But we know that obviously Biden had them spending a lot of time on J6. This is also, you've probably seen if you watch any of the fake news or whatever. This is the end. We're at a precipice now. We were at a precipice at J6. That was the end of the country. And just like, you know, climate change, we're at a precipice. We've been at the end of the United States. It's been the last day of the United States for the last 25 years with climate change. Well, now we're here again. And you know, forget about how every midterm election is the cusp of the end of the United States. And every senatorial race in a purple state or in a swing state is also this is the end of the United States if this election doesn't go the right way, right? And 2020 was the end of the world, 2016 was the end of the world, 2024 was the end of the world, right? So we get to play that game again. That's in the script. When we have a mass shooting now, we get to talk about it's the end of the world. We're at a precipice as a society. And the rhetoric. We have to tone down the rhetoric. Because I don't know. People saying mean things, people tweeting mean things, that apparently motivates other people to shoot other people. I don't know. What foolishness. What complete and utter nonsense from both sides, all sides. I just tune it out. You know what I do? There's a lot of people I don't agree with. And you know what I do? I don't listen to them. Don't you learn that lesson when you're in elementary school? That if you don't like somebody or somebody's not being nice or somebody's a creep or whatever and they seem unreasonable, then you tune them out and you're not supposed to talk about them all day, elevate them and make them popular and famous. I don't know. Hey, there are still in this country, 45,000 people are killed in vehicles every year, 45,000 people, which represents more than double the amount of people who are killed with a firearm. And that's, I think, more than four times the amount of people who are killed by homicide as the result of a firearm, because of course 50% of gun deaths are by suicide, but the Democrats, they don't ever like to break out those numbers. And we know that in other countries that have much stricter gun laws, like in Europe, people just commit suicide by other ways. They don't have less suicide. They just find other means. There's plenty of different means. Or just like you see more knife attacks or acid attacks in England because the firearm laws are more strict. Yeah, but we don't want to talk about cars and how much of a safety threat they are to the public and how hundreds of thousands of people are injured severely on America's highways every year, in addition to the 45,000 people or so who are killed inside of the car, or pedestrians who are hit by a car, 20 a day. There's the equivalent of several mass shootings per day of pedestrians killed by cars, but we don't want to talk about that because everybody likes cars. Everybody likes to have a nice truck or an SUV. And cars with an average price now of about $50,000 with a 7-year finance deal and interest, it's just too profitable. There's just too much economic activity at stake. Oh, but isn't that kind of the same with guns as well, right? There's just too much of an economic incentive to get rid of guns. And it just drives me nuts because the media now, if you watch any of it, which I don't, this is just going to be the big story for the next several days. And they're so excited because they don't have to talk about the homeless, junkie, bum, criminal, vagrant, mental patient, savage, who had been arrested 14 times in Charlotte, who stabbed a woman to death in the throat. They can put him off of the screen. They tried to hide him as best as they could. But, you know, that's the kind of thing. I know that was an extreme case, getting stabbed to death by a homeless person, but that's the bigger public safety threat to any normal person who lives in a city, that you're going to be assaulted or attacked by a homeless person or some other low-level, low-life criminal. And you can't say anything about it. You can't do anything about it because you'll end up in a situation like Daniel Penny. Everybody saw that. Daniel Penny in New York, who was arrested and tried for murder, when all he did, he was on the subway, and this psychopath, who the Democrats like to refer to as a Michael Jackson impersonator, instead of a homeless, junkie, bum, criminal, vagrant, mental patient, ne'er-do-well, who'd been arrested over 40 times and who had a documented history of attacking elderly people and punching them in the face and breaking their nose, and then happened to be on the subway threatening everybody on the subway with death or bodily injury, including many minorities, immigrants, and children. And then a white guy who happened to be a member of the U.S. military said, you know what, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to listen and put up with this savage, homeless, junkie, bum, criminal, vagrant, mental patient, ne'er-do-well. And he did something about it. And this societal excrement ended up dead. And Daniel Penny almost lost his life because of the Soros-funded DA, Fat Alan Bragg in New York, tried to put him away for the rest of his life and make an example of somebody who went after a member of the Democrat core constituency. So that's a whole nother topic. That's another big reason why we have problems. All of the freaks are protected. And if you're a normal taxpayer who thinks you're going to get on a subway, or you think you're going to get on a public bus and just sit down and quietly and try to enjoy the ride in peace for 10 or 15 minutes to get to your destination, if you think that you're going to do that and interfere with some homeless, junkie, bum, criminal, vagrant, mental patient, ne'er-do-well, and his psychotic, mental, violent, dangerous breakdown in front of you, how dare you? How dare you think that you're going to do that, pay for the ride, and like the homeless, junkie, bum, criminal didn't pay for the ride, and you get to suffer for it like we all do. All right. I'm going to move along. I think we'll get to maybe one topic here, Texas related. All right. I will keep it brief. There were two big issues at the Dallas City Council meeting up for discussion, and the council is going to be voting next week on September 17th on the city manager's proposed budget. And very little fat has been trimmed from the budget, even though all kinds of waste has been exposed that's ripe to be cut. We know that the city hired an office of the inspector general, hired a candidate who was unqualified for the role. He wasn't a practicing attorney. He did have experience doing that kind of investigative work, but under the law, he had to be an attorney, and he was not. So he was hired a few months ago. He was quickly fired, of course, or I think his last day is going to be some date later in September. And not sure what kind of severance he is going to be seeking or if he's going to be filing a lawsuit. But his predecessor has filed a lawsuit seeking $250,000 from the city of Dallas. He claims that he was retaliated against because he did expose some waste for a council member retreat at DFW Airport. I'm not sure when that occurred, but it was at the Hyatt Hotel at the DFW Airport. And there were tens of thousands of dollars spent on food and chauffeured cars and drinks that the Office of the Inspector General found to be outrageous. And so he was let go. And so now he is suing the city, which means he's suing the taxpayers, seeking damages for wrongful termination. And of course, the Dallas City Council, they approved yesterday to build a brand new practice facility in Southwest Dallas, far Southwest Dallas, for the Dallas Wings, the female professional basketball team, who has moved around from Oklahoma to Detroit. They're in Arlington, Texas now, and they're allegedly, their stadium, or where they're going to be actually playing games, their arena rather, it's supposed to be in the brand new convention center, I believe, whenever that opens, years away. And which is another multi-billion dollar project. But the practice facilities, the potential sites that already exist, like for example, the rodeo at Fair Park, which would require some modification, but has already had significant upgrades, they don't want that. The city council, most of them, is determined to have the practice facility out in on 100 acres of what is essentially parkland that has no utility infrastructure whatsoever. And it's going to cost $55 million. That's what they claim it's going to cost, $55 million. And it's supposed to be open and ready to go 8 months from today. And there aren't even utility connections there. So any kind of a publicly funded project, infrastructure project like this, they are never within budget, almost never. Anytime there is construction building, brand new construction, the cost overruns. Wouldn't be surprised if it ends up triple the price. Wouldn't even be surprised if it doesn't end up happening, because there's no way this building is being constructed in 8 months with all of the accoutrements and amenities and specifications that the Dallas Wings expect in their contract. And the other item, and this apparently isn't up for a vote, but there were many residents who showed up yesterday, mostly from far north Dallas, but some of the other nicer single-family neighborhoods as well, because the city wants to do away with alley trash collection. And I've expressed before, I don't have a strong opinion on alley trash collection. Where I am from in Boston, it's not even a thing whatsoever in the residential neighborhoods, doesn't matter, or in the suburbs. Everybody has street trash pickup for the most part. And even though I own a single family house in Dallas and I live in a condominium, we have alley pickup, but it's private. It's not the city. So I don't have to worry about that. But with these single-family neighborhoods, the city sanitation department has exclusivity in servicing the trash. And you know what? Even if I don't agree with it or I'm not very passionate about it, I'm always passionate and I'm always excited to see residents, normal taxpayers, showing up and confronting their municipal elected leaders and making them uncomfortable and forcing them to care about something that most of them don't care about. So it was great to see that. I don't know what's going to happen with the alley trash, if it's going to go away for most people. But it seems like the bureaucrat who is in charge of sanitation, in other words, city staff, is making the decision, which is going to impact tens of thousands of residents. And these residents, they are not going to have the option to contract with a private vendor to have alley trash collection. So hopefully the city council, and it's not so much the councilors of those particular districts who have made their opposition to eliminating alley trash well known, but some of the other councilors whose residents don't care that much about it because they have street pickup, they may just go along with the city staff recommendation. So I'm Bronan. I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. Keep listening. Keep tuning in. And follow the Real Texas Radio Podcast on X at RTR_Bronan, RTR_Bronan.